Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this special Irish Examiner Cheltenham Festival podcast. As you can see, I've been joined by Tommy Lyons, the Irish Examiner racing correspondent, and columnist Ruby Walsh, who, if you're not aware, also happens to be the most successful jockey in the history of the Cheltenham Festival. Guys, you're very welcome. Both of you are over there already. Ruby, what's the atmosphere like on Monday morning as we record?
I just actually saw Gordon Elliott's horses going onto the track, Paddy, or Jesus Christ, Gary even. And I called Patrick Kennelly Gary yesterday, and I was guaranteed to call you Patrick today. Anyway,
No offense taken.
He was actually quite chuffed, really. He was delighted that I called him Gary O'Brien. You're not taking offense. He was taking it as a compliment. Sorry, Gary. So Gordon's horses were going out, Willie's horses are coming in even, and Willie's horses were just going out. But yeah, I guess plenty of excitement around Gary, but a lot of people going to work, droves and droves of people coming into the Cheltenham Racecourse to get everything ready for people for tomorrow.
It really is an exciting time. And Tommy, you've landed as well. I'm going to be heading over shortly. Are you looking forward to the week?
Oh, yeah. Mad busy week, but it's just the best week of the entire year. I would ask Ruby, because I skirted by the racecourse yesterday. I'll be in there in a couple of hours' time, but there was nothing but rain and surface water absolutely everywhere as I drove around Cheltenham.
Yeah, I just actually met JP McManus coming off the track, actually, and he didn't think it was quite as soft as maybe John Poulin does. But I was talking to John Poulin last night, and he, who's the clerk of the course, he thinks it will start officially on soft ground tomorrow. That's what he thinks anyway, Tommy. But there's no more rain forecast. A couple of mil, I think, later in the week. Maybe a mil in the morning, but he kind of thought he might get that, he might not. So I think the ground will look... It's an ever-evolving story in horse racing, but it really will be one this year in particular, because they won't be watering, so it'll be getting drier from today onwards. And I think by Thursday into Friday, it'll be a much different picture.
And Ruby, just before we get stuck into it, we'll take a look at each day in isolation. But since you've been over there, have you picked up good vibes for any horse in particular, as can sometimes happen?
No. Although kind of hearing that maybe... Sort of the talking point, Gary, really, is the Henderson horses and the health of them, really. You look at their form in the last fortnight compared to Willie or Gordon, how they've been prolific the last fortnight, whereas Nicky Henderson hasn't even had runners since Kelso. So, look, the vibes seem to be that they're healthier than people think, but that'll have to be proven to me anyway, Gary. I'll be watching Jericho the rep at the end of the first race tomorrow, and I'll be watching, and people can think all they want. I prefer proof. Hard, cold proof.
He's going to be a real barometer, isn't he, for how people are going to play things with the Nicky Henderson horses. Let's dive straight into day one then, Ruby. And the bookies are already talking about the running scared of Willie Mullins, all the accumulators running up. You've been in that position in your riding days as well. Just tell me which of Willie's horses in particular are you most looking forward to seeing on Tuesday?
We'll take issue with the bookmakers for a start, because... Ballyburn doesn't run in the Supreme, and Constitution Hill is out of the champion hurdle. So most of those anti-post accumulators that people had are already spent, are already dead in the water. So bookmakers running scared of accumulators now is propaganda. But the ones that Willie's looking forward to, a statement. Paul Townend's gone down the track down there this morning. He looks $1 million, Gary. I think he's going to take, like, it's bad luck. Stop statement winning the champion hurdle. And I think it'll be the same for Lassie Mount in the Mayor's hurdle. She does look really well as well. But they both have obviously made this trip before. They're not on edge. They look grand and relaxed. You're looking at some of the novices, maybe they're a bit on their toes this morning. The horses that mightn't have been away from, or haven't been here before, I suppose, more than anything else. But I think Stateman and Lossie Mount, they're the big rides tomorrow for Paul Townend. And they carry a lot of the hopes of the yard. So big day for the two of them in particular.
They're going to carry the hopes of a lot of punters as well, Tommy, and plenty of people will be doubling them up, might well be sticking them in accumulators with other hot pots over the 4 days as well. Any way you can see either of those two getting beat, Stateman or Lottymouth?
Well, of course, any horse can get beaten, but like, I just can't. I mean, Stateman's a bigger certainty now than Constitution was. Constitution Hill was when he was taking on Stateman. I mean, I don't think there's much to say about the champion hurdle, I'll be quite honest about it. Stateman is absolutely rock solid, brilliant horse. And even people say, oh, he didn't run exactly to form last year in the champion hurdle. If he runs to the same level as he ran last year, he'll still win the champion hurdle. That'll be my
opinion. I'm going to be interested to see how Jericho de Repine runs in the first, because I think Iberico Lord might not be that far behind Irish Point, as the officials' figures say. Could you see that case, Ruby, if you do get a bit of encouragement from the early Henderson runners?
Yeah, you could. And look, I've been slagging AP all week that, you know, you went and spent a good few quid there, JP's, to take Iberico Lord into the champion hurdle as a supplementary, and you hardly stuck him in on yard form. But, you know, he... In fairness to him, he's been chucking it back at me. They really do think he'll run into the money, Gary, and he'll love a dig in the ground. He's an improving type. He's won two good handicaps. He's a bit long way to go to beat Stateman, but I could see him running into the money. You really would if the Henderson yard was flying, but we can watch Jericho the Repine, but I'll want to watch all the Shoesley's action before I make a call on the Henderson horses.
Fair play. We're going to just quickly touch on that opening Supreme Novice Hurdle. Everybody who has their few quid on during Cheltenham would love to get off to a flying start and back the winner of the first race. And Ruby, Willie Mullins has a particularly strong hand, as per usual, even with no Ballyburn. And the interesting horse really is Tully Hill. Now, you and I have been working together a bit over the past few weeks. I thought you were quite negative on Tully Hill after his win at Punchestown, but over the last few days, I just get the feeling something has changed with him. Just tell us your thoughts now as we get closer.
Yeah, I was working with Jim Punchestown, and his jumping didn't blow me away. Now, I probably reacted in watching him and thinking, that's not going to do in Cheltenham. That needs to be worked on. He needs practice. And it has been worked on. He's gotten a lot of practice in since. And yeah, I'd say watching him the other morning with Paul. Paul was absolutely delighted with him, Paul Town, and how he jumped. He's had a lot of schooling. He's been, foot to the floor schooling, really. But, yeah, we think he's turned the corner. And it's more than that, just two or two, Gary, though. You look at it, not the biggest deal in the world for a Supreme, not guaranteed a whole lot of pace. It's going to be on soft ground. So, again, that means it's going to be a little bit slower. And I think there's a lot of stars starting to align for Tully Hill. And, we think he's in great form. Mm.
Have you been sensing those vibes as well, Tommy? It does sound as though confidence in the camp is growing for that horse, doesn't it?
Exactly what I've been picking up. But I would have thought that the same as Ruby said at the time about his jumping, I just do have a little bit of a concern about it. And actually, maybe the softer ground would be fine. Actually, slow things all up a little bit. The two I kind of came down on were Firefox, who I think would probably go forward as he can, as long as there's not a ridiculous pace in the race. And I do like Jericho de Repine. He's only been beating. The problem is, of course, he's only been beating horses that were raised in the 120s, and he's only 136 himself. The Nicky Henderson form is, most trainers, not every trainer, obviously, will have a little bit of a lull, and the lesser lights will be out in the weeks before Cheltenham and the likes of that, and you'll get results a little bit skewed, or their stats will drop a little bit. There has been a bit of a concern about Nicky Henderson's, but I do like that horse. It would, of course, calm things a little bit and say, okay, don't go head first in and back Jericho to rep and line or have a decent bet in him. Just it would be a smaller each way bet now. I just think he's a lovely jumper. He can be ridden any way in a race. Nicky Henderson as a trainer is right at the top of the tree as far as I'm concerned. He's up there with Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott in that level. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It's between the two of them, I think, for me, in terms of, I wouldn't say value, because it's quite an open race. I just have a small bit of concern, like Ruby had before about Tully Hill, just a little bit of concern about the jumping. That's enough to put me off him.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with any of that. Ruby, just to have a look at the Arkle, which is the second race, the first one over fences of the week. I wouldn't necessarily say the same level of confidence, but I think you guys are expecting Gaelic Warrior to bounce back from his disappointing run at Leopardstown last time. He was one of those pieces on the chessboard, if you like, that Willie Mullins has had to move around a little bit in the run-up.
He is, Gary, and I guess the same goes for Facile Vega, and they've been moved in opposite directions, but they both have a point to prove, and they have to rebuild their reputations. I mean, both looked, particularly Gaelic Warrior, and he went over fences, looked like he was had the world at his feet, but he bombed out in Leopardstown, and form is form, whatever way you look at it. I think he has to prove that he can handle the environment as well, because he got very hot and bothered in Leopardstown, whatever was up with him. He looked okay here this morning, but he has to prove that he can handle that. And Fasta Viga's going up in Trip later in the week. You know, I suppose when you look at his pedigree, his mother wanted every yard of 3 miles, so maybe he does too. But I think he's a squeak, Gary, but I thought that Arklow was incredibly hard. What did you think, Tommy? I mean, you could pick the one you don't want, you don't fancy, and there's not too many you can't fancy in it.
Yeah, like I find it ridiculous that I'm actually coming down on the side of 100 yard a bit, because he's a horse I wouldn't have particularly liked as a hurdler. And I just thought, actually, he's run the last day. I liked it. He was going to win the first day when he fell. Not ideal, obviously, to have a fall over fences so early. He was impressive the last day. He can attack his fence himself almost, run into it quite quickly, I think, and be a little bit low. Second time over fences, I'm talking about particularly. But actually, he was quite good in the main. I just thought he had a bit of a chance. But, I mean, it's not a race out of any confidence in. I would like to take on Gaelic Warrior, definitely. I just think the run the last day, he was obviously well beaten before the unseeded. He's been beaten at Cheltenham. He was beaten by Brazil in a handicap of 120-something. I mean, we all think that he probably wants to go the other way around. And there's enough reason to kind of say, do you know what, I'll leave him alone. As he's wearing a hood first time as well. What that'll do for him, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, Ruby, what's the story with all the hoods on the Willie Mullins horses? He's after declaring an absolute heap of them with the head game.
Yeah, and you want to see the debate on Saturday morning, Gary. There could have been a whole lot more.
Have you got enough hoods over there?
We'd have an arm. Yeah, but no shortage of hoods. But look, I don't know. Gaelic Warrior, maybe the hood will help him. Embassy Gardens is wearing one as well. There's a couple more on Wednesday. I suppose when you think about it, Cheltenham is different in horse racing crowd wise, 65,000-70,000 people, whatever it is here. Atmosphere, you want to just keep the horses, I suppose, as relaxed as they can be, but maybe on soft ground as well. You just hope at times, though, that when you come to Cheltenham, the pace is up, pressure's on, get too relaxed, get too far back, race passes you by. I don't know. There was a long debate about that one, Gary.
Okay. Tommy, what's your strongest fancy on day one? Ruby mentioned Embassy Gardens there. Mine actually runs against him in the last race. I really like Corbett's Cross in that one. I think he'll be able to outclass them. But what about you?
I think the same. I think because you know, you're going to have Lassie Mountain Statement as Aslan chances and very short probably. To me, it's Corbett's Cross as well. A horse that can be beaten or win by a head in a grade two over mile 7.5. I know he's stepping up to 3 miles 6 now and almost 3 miles 6. It's a different story, but he has class in abundance, and I think he will win. As a horse that Embassy Gardens, again, who looks a more straightforward horse over fences now than he did over hurdles, he's not a horse that I've ever warmed to, maybe because, you know, he's not long enough maybe over fences and that sort of stuff, and I'm kind of still remembering his hurdling career, short as it was. I like Corbett's Cross. I think he's a different grade. I mean, to me, it's a dead match between the pair as well.
Yeah. Ruby, outside of what we spoke about, anything standing out to you there from either from Willie's or outside of them?
I thought in the ultimate, Gary, I know Willie has the favourite meeting of the waters, but I think he's up 17 pounds. I thought Trelawne with Harry Cobden booked was really of interest for me in the handicap chase. I think he was crying out for a step up and trip. And I think Harry, I felt sorry for David Bass having to pick between Chianti Classico and Trelawne when you don't have that many good rides. To have to split the two of those is tricky for him. But I thought Harry Cobden was a good jockey booking for Trelawne. I thought Old Patir had a squeak in the Fred Winter for Martin Brazel as well. But look, I think Tuesday will be a great day's racing, great crowd. And I just think there's something magical about this place, Gary. And we always get a story. And there's always something happens here that makes people think, yeah, I'm glad I was there to see that. And I think it'll happen again tomorrow. I just wish they knew what it was.
Last year certainly fell into that category, didn't it? And I think it's promising to be a big, big day for the Irish horses on Tuesday as well. Could be a big week. Into Wednesday then. Ruby, let's start with El Fabiolo and the Champion Chase, one of your big, big guns. I know there are some people around who think this could be the most talented horse almost you have in the yard, which is quite a compliment. I don't know whether that's true or not, but presumably long faces if he doesn't deliver.
I'd say there will be. But look, if you gave me a choice right now, Gary, and said you can have El Fabiolo or Gallop in the Champ, I would definitely be taking Gallop in the Champ.
You'd go the Gallop Cup horse.
That'd be closer to my heart now. But look, El Fabiolo is a very good horse. And it's a funny one. I think I think only two horses can win. I think John Bunn is the only horse that can actually beat him. And I think by Wednesday morning, we'll know a hell of a lot more about the form of Nicky Henderson's horses. And I think Nico de Bonneville really suits him. Now, everybody's different shape, different sizes. Like, I rode with a long leg deep, and there was plenty of horses that didn't suit. I couldn't get Rule Supreme to get off the ground, whereas David Casey, who was much shorter, could get him to jump reasonably well, and he won a brown advisory on Rule Supreme. I wouldn't have got him to the back of the third fence, but different shapes suit different horses, and I think somebody with long legs suits John Bunn, and I think Nico de Bonneville, when I watched him here in the Slur Chase, definitely got a really good tune out of him. Thought he jumped poorly in last year's Arkle. I just think that sort of a shape suits John Bunn. And I do think if the Henderson horses are shown they're healthy and well, I think John Bunn will give Val Fabiola a race.
That's interesting. I wasn't necessarily expecting to hear that, Tommy. What's your thoughts on the big race on Wednesday?
Well, I thought you know, they have history. And like, if Fabiola came out on top last year, was John Bunn at his very best in the Arkle? I'm not certain. They had previous, then it was only Fabiola's second ever run for Willie Mullins at the time in when he was beaten in the neck by John Bond in Aintree. I thought that Fabiola would probably win, but I thought the market was a bit weak on John Bond at around about 130. I think, I mean, I can definitely see why I'm in the camp of that it's a two horse race. And if you're getting, you know, 4-9 maybe and 130, you could probably take a chance on John Bond at the price, purely on price. And he wouldn't be surprised if he jumped off in front.
Right then, Wednesday gets underway with the newly titled Gallagher Novice Hurdle, and I don't think any horse has been talked about more in the run-up to Cheltenham this year than Ballyburn Ruby. We found out last week this was where he was going to run after a lot of to-ing and fro-ing. Are you happy enough it's the right decision at least, and it looks as though he's frightened away one or two of his main rivals already?
I would be, yeah, but there's that much talk about Ballyburn now, it nearly reminds you of Dunguib, and we all know what happened to Dunguib. So, I hope the talking doesn't slow Ballyburn down as much as it did Dunguib. So, look, he's in good nick. I think he's the best novice hurdler. I think the trip will suit him. He's a good jumper. I think he ticks all the right boxes. But I just talking novices, Gary. we can write a book on how many of them are after getting stuffed around here.
Yeah, Tommy, give us your thoughts on Ballyburn. Do you think he could go all the way? And actually, while we have you there, fact to file another real talking horse from the Mullins camp, who in fairness backed it up when winning a grade one in a great time at Leopardstown.
Well, like Ballyburn, in fairness, has come a long way from being beaten by Firefox that day. I know it was his first run of the season and first run over hurdles, but he beat Cletus Pula, who I thought wasn't much of a horse until he went out and won a maiden hurdle at least a couple of runs ago, and has gone to quite a decent level. And I think actually the fact that Slade Steele's connections decided kind of long ago, wherever Ballyburn goes, we don't go. And Slade Steele has been heavily backed for the Supreme. I mean, we're talking down into single figures at this stage. Is a fair sign of what they think of him. If they think he's that good, what do they think of Ballyburn? I think they're right. I think it's what we've seen in the last two runs. I think he'll win, to be honest about it. I think he's head and shoulders above the opposition in that race. Fact to file, I'm hoping we'll win because he's my only anti-post bet of the meeting. And it was for this race, I fortunate enough to get the right race. I think it's part of the funny games.
Not easy these days, is it?
No, it's not. Definitely not. Not the way some of them have jumped around a bit. Fact to file just kind of wowed me the last day. And it's not that what he beat, or it's encouraging, of course, that Zanahir won a race next time, whatever else. And two runs ago, fact to file, of course, when he beat Zanahir. It's just the way he jumped and the way he travelled and the way he moved. And the fact that he actually jumped well when Gaelic Warrior went off in front the last day and was able to almost track him, help him jump. Gaelic Warrior's jumping was slightly better until the race was almost over. But fact to file is still very, very good. I think he's an improving horse. The vibes are more than what we've seen on the track about him. The talk is, Ruby tells more about that. They seem to absolutely love the horse.
Yeah, he's a fair horse, Tommy, but to ride him at home, I only rode him once. He wouldn't blow you away at home either. But I was more kind of thinking is what he does at the track. He looks really slow at home, but when he gets to the track, he looks an awful lot quicker. And that's my only worry from him, is the actual trip. Even though you think watching him every day of the week, Jesus, he wants 3 yards. How can he be winning a 2.5? But he on the race course, he's a different horse. I thought he got keen enough with Mark Walsh too in Leopardstown behind Gaelic Warrior in a two horse race. They were doing a fair speed and they went into the back straight that day. Look, you have Broadway Boy and you'll have Stay Away Fay, slow ground. This is going to be a fair slog. And if fact the file stays, he'll win. But he has to prove to me he's going to stay.
Yeah. Do you think, I'm not for a second saying he's in Gallop and Deschamps league at this stage, Ruby, but do you think he's in the same sort of mould as a horse that he could potentially be?
Yeah, I do. Potentially, Gary, he could be the one horse that comes out of this week that's going to take on Gallop and Deschamps next year. And racing, look, every sport needs that, whatever it is. You need new rivals for the top dogs. And I just think that, yeah, he could be the one that sticks his hand up. I hope he stays because, you know, you have a brilliant Gold Cup horse in Gallop and Deschamps, but you need competition for them too. You need new competition. So I hope Factifier sticks his hand up and says, yeah, I am the opposition.
If all else fails for Willie Mullins on Wednesday, and I'm pretty sure it won't, but the bumper is usually a safe fallback for him, Ruby, and he's got a big, big team this year, as per usual. He's slimmed it down to 9 or 10, is he?
It's just about, yeah. I think he has that many because, and I'm blaming David Casey, he's blaming me, but we didn't think the bumper horses prior to Christmas were, was any airplanes amongst them, and Willie's now adamant that he could have his own division. He has that many good ones. So we'll find out on Wednesday who's right. But I think a couple of prices, Gary, probably make most appeal to me, Argento Boy or Floru Facile de Mare, but I don't think Willie Mullins has 9 champions amongst them. It's a private duel going on there, Gary.
Fair comments. Okay, I do like both those horses Ruby mentioned, Tommy, and in particular, Floru Facile is one I think has really come in here under the radar. I didn't actually realise she was going to run until maybe 3 or 4 days ago, but she's won both her races in great style, despite doing a lot of things wrong. Do you give her a squeak?
It's funny. I think after she won the last day, Willie was kind of talking about, oh, she'd be a lovely broodmare down the line, or this is the kind of line he was going with. I'm thinking, not like Willie to be thinking beyond the champion bumper. I thought maybe like you, that this mightn't be on the agenda. But she, like, the fact that she does quite a lot wrong in the race and still wins and wins so impressively, she must have an absolute abundance of talent. I mean, it's a desperately tough race. If you just had Willie Mullins horses in it alone, I couldn't pick the winner. Then adding Gordon's field in Yellow Clay, who caught the eye the last day, Romeo Coolio, who was a big reputation, won reasonably well the last day, is clearly probably thought to do a lot better. I tell you, if we're in trouble by the bumper, we're probably going to be in trouble on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to have a few quid each way in her anyway. Tommy, what is the standout for you? I know you're on Factifile, you mentioned there, Antipost. Hopefully he'll deliver the goods. Anything else?
I like Delta Work in the cross country chase. I think Gary's just frozen there for a second, but he'll probably pop back into it. I like Delta Work in the cross country chase. Is that a race you've looked at, Ruby?
Yeah, I did. I was looking at it this morning, Tommy. I was typing a column up to send on to you to proofread before I got myself in trouble. And I thought Cocoa Beach. Tomorrow I went through it. Mm-hmm. He's the one horse going up in ratings.
Yeah.
The rest of them are all horses on the way down. He's 9. He's guaranteed to handle the ground. The more I looked at that this morning, Tommy, I could really rehash what I've typed to you. that's where I stand on him anyway. I just thought he was the one horse going in the right direction.
And there's been plenty of money. Yeah, plenty of support from the last couple of days.
Yeah, that'll do. That's always a help too.
Right, let's go into Thursday then. Maybe a trickier day for the punters, this one. Doesn't always work out that way, of course, but Tommy, let's start with you. Is there a nap on the card for you on Thursday? A lot of people, I think, are coming around to Tupo in the Stayers Hurdle, a horse who is actually quite a decent price for a long way, but it's shortened up now to around about 2 to 1 or so.
Yeah, and I can see the reason why, in the sense that I don't think it's a really, really strong race. Tupo was probably a little bit unlucky last year. I'm not sure I like that kind of profile. You know, you're saying, oh, he should have won. Went tremendously against him in the race, but he kind of managed to find a way to get beaten, which worries me now. He's been kept extremely fresh, you know, hasn't run in over 3 months, and if that's what suits him, that'll probably be enough. I don't think it's a particularly strong race. I mean, it's all the same kind of characters running against each other yet again. The ground should be ideal. He stays well. He has a bit of class. He's probably a horse that should win at this level. I think actually he's at the price. He's okay. He's around about 3.35, around about 9 to 4-ish on the machine, I think. And I think that's a pretty good price.
Ruby, not a race Willie's got a particularly strong hand in, but have you got a strong view on it?
I don't have a strong view on it, but I have a small feeling we probably, Monkfish maybe, should be going here rather than the Gold Cup. I think this is a more winnable race. I'd agree with Tommy, and it was Pat Keane always said it to me. He said, if you keep blaming good jockeys for horses getting beaten, he says you'd be in the poorhouse. And I have to watch back that Stayers Hurdle 2 or 3 times. I don't really see what David Russell did wrong. And I'm just not certain. I think Noble Yates appeals to me way more each way at 8-1 than Choupu does at 2-1. I think he's guaranteed to stay, headgear on him. Harry Cobden's riding him. He definitely, he makes more appeal to me, Gary, at that price than Choupu does at 2s.
Banbridge is a horse a lot of Irish punters are going to potentially put their faith in on the day. But Ruby, I think anybody who does is going to be hoping that JP McManus is right, that the ground isn't too bad, because it scuppered his chance last year. He ended up not running. What's your gut feeling at the moment? Will it dry out enough for him?
I think it'll dry plenty, Gary. And I'd say by Thursday, whether it's dry enough for Banbridge or not, I'm not sure. But it'll dry enough for him to run. But I think the drying ground actually really suits another horse, and that's Envoy Allen. I was watching back last year's race, and he absolutely bolted it. He nearly ran away with Braids of Blackmore at 2 stages in the race, turning into the straight the first time, and again when he turned down into the back straight. I think he was a really authoritative winner. Made a mistake at the third last and was still hard back on the bridle before he turned in. I think there's more pace in this race, this year's race, which will help him to settle. I'd be with him, Gary. Horses for courses and horses for meetings. This fella's been to 4 festivals. He's 1 of 3. He fell at the other one. Like, he's nearly, he's as good a record as Galloping the Champ.
What do you reckon, Tommy? Envoy Allen hiding in plain sight, as it were?
Hiding in plain sight. And it's not as though Henry Ram has been shy about what he thinks and how well the horse has been in the last few weeks. If you listen to what he's saying, I mean, you'd think the horse is an absolute stone cold certainty. And it's not Henry's form to be saying things like that, you know what I mean? But the positivity is unbelievable. Like, we were driving in around Cheltenham yesterday, and the one comment we made, this isn't Banbridge weather. That's if Ruby's right and Banbridge does turn up, I think it's kind of the same. Well, we pulled out last year, just let him run. I mean, there might be a bit of that, like, you know, hoping that it will dry enough. But I think Phil Dore can probably run a bigger race than maybe his price might suggest. But Envoy Allen, like Ruby said, absolutely hosed up last year. And if he is in that sort of form and his run behind Jerry Calam suggests he probably is. I mean, if that was, okay, that's a while ago, back in November, but he's been kept fresh for this. And if he is in that sort of form, there's no reason. And he's a horse I want to oppose, a horse I kind of, you know, fallen out of love with. Him having been so exciting as a young horse, but it's not as though, I think we forget that he has continued to achieve despite the fact there might be blips along the way.
Racing kicks off on Thursday with the Turners Novice Chase. Looks like Grey Destiny might run in this rather than the Brown Advisory taking on Factor File. Tommy, a lot of talk in the run up to the meeting about the home team possibly facing another real hiding this week. If they don't win this one, I think they're going to be in real trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, big time, and that is a bit of a concern for them if they don't win this one. I mean, I don't know. Facile Vega isn't the horse that I've warmed to as a chaser. I thought, actually, to be honest about it, physically, everything would be right for him to be a proper chaser, maybe even better than he was a hurdler. I think we probably could overlook the fact that he actually finished second into Marine National last year. People tend to forget how well he ran. He actually ran. It wasn't a bad run by any means. It's just because he blotted his copybook a little bit prior to that. He's still a fair horse. And you know what? Even though I don't have a strong opinion on what I think can win this race, even though the English say they have a good hand, it's not the standard they said isn't insurmountable, is it?
No, I wouldn't have thought so, Ruby. What are the vibes about Facile Vega? I think he's been going through a pretty rigorous training regime, has he not, in the last week or two?
Yeah, a couple of weeks. He won't get tired anyway, Gary. I suppose when he put his neck out, or stuck his neck out a bit for Facile Vega and what he thought of him and what he hoped he could achieve. And it's almost, you know, watching him training him the last fortnight, like, you've let me down and now I'm going to prove that you're a good horse. Paul Townend's been riding him a lot, and they think he's turning the corner. They think he's coming. But he has to do, I have to, I'm definitely not going to desert him, because I know Willie Mullins has been in his bonnet about this horse, and Willie loves proving people wrong. But I'm not going to desert him, but I would think this is his last chance in my book anyway.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment. He's been a little bit disappointing vis-a-vis his reputation. That's a great race to kick things off. Another real highlight on that Thursday card, the Mare's Novice Hurdle. Huge clash here between two Irish horses, Brighter Days Ahead and Jade DeGrugy, and a very, very smart home-trained runner as well, Tommy, in the shape of Fergal O'Brien's mare. How do you see this one shaking down?
This is one of the races of the festival, I think. These are like, you know, it's it. I think partly the price of brighter days ahead being around about 13-8 now, which just seems almost ridiculous, considering the level of competition. Jay DeGruzzi has done absolutely nothing wrong, improved the two runs. Dicer Dinos has loads of pace, loads of ability. Like, how one of those three in the three horse race can be 13 in a three horse race, what looks like a three horse race, can be 13-8, and somebody's decided that's the right one. Of course, there has been talk that might be the best horse that's ever walked through Gordon Elliott's gates. Brighter days ahead. She's done absolutely nothing wrong, and it might end up fall on the side of selecting her by Thursday. And this is a race that I could probably change my mind in a couple of times. But God, this is one of the races of the entire festival for me.
Super race, isn't it? And Ruby, you picked up on these vibes as well from the Gordon Elliott yard about brighter days ahead. That said, I don't think there's any lack of regard in the Mullins camp for Jade DeGruzzi, is there? Are you guys just quietly going about your business there and looking forward to this one?
Yeah, look, she is a good mare, Gary. But you have to, you know, you have to respect what Gordon has said. I mean, I think he got off the fence for Don Cossack. He won a Gold Cup when he was a young horse. He got off the fence about Envoy Allen when he was a young horse. Look how right he was about him. And he did the same about Sam Crow. Sam Crow won a two festival. So, like, when Gordon puts his head above the parapet, he's usually right, in fairness to him. So we had a huge regard for what he's saying. We do like Jade DeGruzzi. She does everything right. She keeps things fairly simple. But you just have to respect what Gordon Elliott has said.
Tommy, JP McManus has got an unbelievable hand of horses to run this week. Could he potentially win all three handicaps on the Thursday card? Cribilli is a hot favourite for the plate. I thought Ikara Len had a great chance in the pretense. He's got Chantley House in there as well. And surely, I know the way you're thinking is absolutely exploding in the last, is he not?
I love it, surely, but I know the way you're thinking. Yeah, that's a horse of immense ability who's running off 145. It looks bad when you see a top eight in a handicap, but you're thinking he's probably thrown in. He definitely could. The Cribilli form is form I like. Ruby mentioned Trelawney earlier on. I hear a lot of people talking about how it hung out to the right of Weatherby and all that. It has one of you talks there has run really well at Cheltenham already, Trelawn. I'm in the camp of Ruby there. I fancy that to run a big race on Tuesday. I actually hoped it would turn up in the Kim Muir, to be honest about it. But yeah, JP, he bought Meeting of the Waters and running his colour, I think, this week. And he's just got a huge, huge team in general, I think. And that this might be a very important day for JP.
That might be an interesting bet if someone wanted to price it. JP McManus winners versus Willie Mullins winners over the week. I don't think there'd be an awful lot between them potentially if it all goes right, Ruby. What do you reckon?
Yeah, that'd be incredible. You know, that'd be incredible. You think the number of horses Willie has, if JP has that many to compete here, that really is incredible. I'd have one slight concern about, I know the way you're thinking, and that would be stamina. Three and a quarter miles. I think walking the parks two and a half seems to be the trip for a lot of them. I know there's stamina on the damn side of his pedigree, but he has to prove he stays. And yeah, that is 3.25 miles in the new course, lads. Non-stayers don't win there.
I think he's going to be getting the famous kid glove treatment from Derek O'Connor to try and smuggle him around. We'll see how that goes. Let's move into the Friday then and talk about the Cheltenham Gold Cup. And Ruby, we have to start with you here. You've already referenced him earlier on when we were talking about El Fabiola, Galloping Deschamps. He's been a little bit easy to back in the run-up to the Gold Cup, but you can put our minds at rest. I think you rode him quite recently and you loved what you felt that day, didn't you?
Yeah, I rode him Monday, 9 days ago, Gary. I thought he was in great form. Paul rode him Tuesday, David rode him Thursday, and they all thought the same. Thought he was in really good nick. I rode him before the Dublin Racing Festival. I thought he was well, but I think he's better at the moment than he was then. He was incredible at Christmas. He was brilliant here last year. I'd be sweeting him. I think he'll take a lot of beating. He stays so well. He's fit to flee. He's good and fresh. Yeah, I'd be happy about him now.
Yeah, I think Ruby said it all there without necessarily saying a huge amount in words, Tommy. What's your feeling about it? He has got a couple of new rivals to deal with this time around, a few new rivals, actually. Shishkin, Faster Slow, Jerry Colomb, in terms of the Cheltenham Gold Cup, but he has beaten a couple of those already.
Yeah, look, to be honest about it, if the horse that won at Christmas turns up, there is no betting. And I don't see why he won't. You know, he was disappointing, obviously, first day of the season. He was like a different horse the next day. A lot of people saying they weren't as impressive the last day. He's still beating Faster Slow and beating him quite well. And I don't see how the Faster Slow is going to turn the form around on Friday. I just don't I just can't make the case for myself. I hear a lot of people talking about it. It's just not for me. I think Galopin, I'd love to see Galopin Deschamps win it because he's still a relatively young horse. He's only an 8 year old. Going for a second. I mean, it could be a horse for the ages. People are just so concerned because he got beaten at the end of last season. I never mind Punchestown Farm. If he get beaten, so be it. He got beaten at the start of the season. It was 2.5 miles. It doesn't really worry me that much. I hope he wins it, and I hope he wins it impressively. I think if there's something at a price, and there has been a bit of money for in the last few days, but something at a price, Cora Granbrook can run into a place just the way the race will be run as well. He's type one that, you know, he jumps really well, he stays really well. He's not going to be up in, you know, up among the pace like those. He's not going to be ridden like one of those that's challenging to win the race. I could just see him sneaking into the frame at a big price. I mean, to win two Ultimas and to win a Grand National takes a fair animal, more than maybe just a handicapper, even though they are three handicaps.
Okay, Ruby, who do you think might be the main threat, if there is one, the way you're talking there?
Fast and slow is Gary, yeah, definitely. I think he's a very good horse, and I expect him to be a bit fitter. He wasn't heavy in Leopardstown, Fast or Slow, but he hadn't run since the John Durkin, and he didn't look as hard, maybe, as Galopin Deschamps did, like battle hard, fit, lean. I expect to see him looking a bit more that way here on Friday. And I think he's the one that'll chase him home. I would agree with Tommy, I could give Carrick Rambler a chance. And I think Jerry Colomb as well. I don't think he ran his race at Christmas. To watch him in the parade room before racing in Leopardstown, I always had in my head that Jerry Colomb, big placid individual, he was on his toes in the paddock. He was like a horse that was almost too fresh. And that's the way he ran, because he didn't keep going. That was the one thing I thought he would do in the Savills, was actually stay and keep going. He folded in the Savills. So I don't think he ran his race. So I'd be for doing two trifectas, Gary. Galopin Deschamps to be Fast and Slow, Carrick Rambler to be third once, Jerry Clam to be third in the other one.
Great stuff. Will they let you have a sit on Galopin before the big day on Friday, or are you too busy with the likes of this between now and then?
No, I'm finished on the ride now front. He won't be here, Gary, until Thursday evening anyway, so he'll only ride out Friday morning here. Okay. He will be leaving home today, but he'll come via Liverpool, so he'll stay in Liverpool for a couple of nights before he comes down here. And I'd imagine Paul is sitting on himself Friday morning. I definitely won't be getting in his way anyway.
Great stuff. We're all looking forward to that one, the big race of the week. Friday kicks off with the Triumph Hurdle. We were talking about Willie with a big team in the bumper, Ruby. A fair army going in there against Sergino in this one. And Sergino was a big drifter. I think it was on Saturday night. Nicky Henderson's come out and said all is well with the horse. But obviously, Sergino fans are going to want to see a Henderson winner or two on the board by this stage, aren't they?
Yeah, and look, to be fair, it is Cheltenham, Gary, in my mind, if they're walking back into the winner's enclosure, that's the first four. You'll be taking it that the Henderson horses are in form. And that's where people can often miss out. You kind of remember what's after winning. You forget what finished second, third and fourth. And horses can run and yards can be in great form here without having winners. So I think if there's a couple of Henderson horses, if Nico de Bonville is unsaddling in the parade ring rather than out in the loser's paddock, I'd say he'd be happy with the form. But look, I thought he was really good here in trials. I was here. I watched him live. I thought it was a really good performance. I'm not sure about the Irish horses. They're finished too much in a heap at Leopardstown for me, and he'd love to see one of them having gone away and proved they were the best, and maybe two at most. But I hate seeing five or six of them. They're trying to split them, pick this one, pick that one, a good jump here, a bad jump there. I'd be going with the biggest price ones in that situation. So Bunting and Ethical Diamond, and you might get lucky with an Irish horse that way.
Fair play. Tommy, do you like anything? Would you be with or against the favourite at this stage? Obviously we should, as Ruby pointed out, they'd be a fair bit wiser in terms of the Henderson form by the time the race comes around.
I think that'll be quite important to know exactly where we stand with that. But I think they'll be fine. The way he galloped up the hill the last day was deeply impressive. And I suppose if he does that, he was able to separate himself from the rest of the field in such good fashion. And the fact that he beat Milan Tino into third place one day, that Milan Tino is a horse that has a chance in the Boodles. Sergino, I think, I find it a difficult race. I mean, look, if Salvatore Mundi, the horse that Sergino beat in France, is potentially going to run here, having his first run for Willie Mullins, and maybe he's good enough, but we won't know anything about that. He's also owned by Joe Marie Donnelly, so Majbred ran very well the first time for Willie as well. There's a lot of horses in that. I think that's a difficult enough race, but if, as Ruby said, if they all finish the heap, the last day, the ones that ran against the other Leopards, I'm a bit like that. Maybe Sergino's just too good for him, but I don't think I want to put him up as a bet.
Okay. Ruby, just touch on a couple of other Willie Mullins horses, key horses for a lot of people on Friday. Dino Blue in particular in the mare's race. full of confidence about her?
Yeah, couldn't put you off her, Gary. I think she's in great form again. Stamina, maybe, but I think she'll get it. She's a great jumper, strong traveller. She's a massive chance. Couldn't see Billaway winning the Fox Hunters, but I think Willie has great chances in all the other races, Gary. You know, what Sergino turns up, we've a couple of live ones in the county, really strong in the Albert Bartlett, reading Tommy Wrong, high-class hero, Dancing City, Lecky Watson. I think Willie's really strong on that. And that's a deep enough novice hurdle, but Willie's particularly strong on that. He's the Gold Cup, the Mayor's Chase, and of course the Martin Pipe, Key to Bourbon, a few more of them. I'm not sure Willie's overly strong on Thursday, but I think he'll make up for them Friday.
It does look that way, doesn't it? Reading Tommy Wrong's a horse who I think there's a good bit of optimism in the camp for. Would he be a bit of a standout of your Albert Bartlett horses?
Yeah, unfortunately for Reading Tommy Wrong, he does stand out for me, and he would be the one I would choose to ride. But I always pick the wrong one in this race, and never managed to win it. So I'm sorry to Reading Tommy Wrong fans, but I'm rowing in with you here, and it's probably not a good sign in the Albert Bartlett, Gary.
I don't think they'll be too despondent to hear that somehow, Tommy. What about you? What do you like in some of those shoulder races on Friday?
I think Lecky Watson actually run a good race. I know he has a bit to find her reading Tommy Wrong on the run the last day, but he ran well in the bumper last year when maybe he wasn't entitled in terms of you think of that he mightn't have the class and the speed for that last year. I thought he ran a superb race. I think he's not a standout bet by any means, but I just think at a big price he could run into the frame.
God help us all of her trying to get out of trouble in the Martin Pipe race. Ruby's mentioned Key to Bourbon. I know he's speed on him. What do you think about a horse called Water?
I like one more as well, Gary, before you jump to Tommy there. I like Terence O'Brien's horse. Answer to Cave. I liked him at Limerick when he ran behind Loch Lane. He was good in Nace. I think that this race could really suit him. And Answer to Cave there now is a better price than Key to Bourbon.
Cork-based trainer Terence O'Brien is having a great season, Tommy, and I think that horse will run well. But Waterford Whispers was the one I was going to ask you about. He beat Answer the Cave Fairy House earlier on in the season, and he's creeping in at the bottom of the handicap. A JP McManus runner right down at the foot of the weights. Has this ever happened before?
No, this couldn't happen, Gary. You when you think that like it's on the line, it's there for JP's colours as well, and you've Waterford Whispers, who I think they were probably concerned that they wouldn't get in. And I'm not sure, he's not an absolute certainty, but he's what number is he? Oh, he's 27.
Yeah. Right, the waves look like they're parting, don't they?
They do a bit. Like I agree the Answer to Cave has good form. What a shame for that horse, Answer to Cave, that he never ran until he was seven, nearly eight. I mean, or six, nearly seven. He obviously had loads of ability, just left a little bit late to get his career started. But I think, yeah, Waterford Whispers was a bit of an eye-catcher as well the last day. I'd say there's quite a bit in hand. If he gets into the bottom, I could see him being a gamble. Now, Key to Bourbon is a nice horse and ran over 2 miles the last day. And Ruby, he hasn't run in quite a while. Is that preserving the handicap mark that they were happy with early on?
He could have ran the Dublin Race Festival lead, and he didn't, Tommy. And then the plan was to come here with him. So, look, he's a miserable price now, but he's fits the right profile.
Nobody really gives a damn about the Presbury Cup, lads, as we know. But just for the crack, give us a prediction for Irish winners v English winners out of 28 races. I think the record is 23-5 from a couple of years back. Could it be that much of a route again?
It could be. I'm just thinking, you got me on the hop, Gary. I wasn't thinking about that one. The Ultima on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday. Yeah, four or five.
What do you think, Tommy?
And actually I think the shortest price in the betting for this is a 20 to 8 win for Ireland, which I would be thinking that we'll get above 20, and that's frightening to think that's where it was. When this Presbury Cup was launched originally, I thought this was a lark. We'll never even compete in this. And now
we're getting a draw on it. Yeah, just, time to just, good
just,
result.
Just remember now, lads, it is only last Saturday Ireland were minus what to beat England.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves.
That has to be remembered now.
And just remember, you get paid the same if you back an English winner as you do an Irish winner over in Tilburg. Always worth remembering.
I kind of think the same, Gary, yeah. Never bother me who trained them either.
And even though it's counterintuitive, like, we do need it to be competitive.
Exactly, it doesn't want to be too one-sided, does it, in an ideal world? Yeah. Right, then.
That depends on who you are.
I was just doing that best, sorry. We've come to the end of our whistle stop tour then of what promised to be four wonderful days. Ruby, I'll come to you first of all. Just give us a few for the punters to have a few quid on. We can all obviously talk about Ballyburn, El Fabiolo, and I know you might maybe suggest putting a few of those hot pots into a bet, but
I think you should start doing the maths I'm working about. But other names, I do think Trelawne in the Ultima, he's definitely one. They came over yesterday with David Casey. He was making a half a case for a horse called Jimmy Desai at a big price in the Gallagher Novices Hurdle. At a huge price. And I think in the Triumph, Gary Bunting and Ethical Diamond, they're 14 to 1 a bit longer. If it stays dry in Ethical Diamond, if we get a drop of rain, Bunting, I think they're good prices each way if you're hoping to hit one. And those couple of horses in the bumper, Argento Boy, Fleur de Vizil, again, double figure odds. You only need two of those to win, like they've had a profitable week.
Exactly. And a profitable week is what it's all going to come down to for a lot of people watching this, Tommy. Who's going to make it so?
Look, there's going to be a lot of shorting, so we won't be worrying about them. But look, at prices, I think Crivelli will be hard to beat in the plate. I think he's just the form ties in with Trelawne. I think Trelawne is a bet. I think I put him up in the paper this morning about being a bit of a bet at a price, and he's in the Ultima. And also Milan Tino in the Boodles. I like that horse quite a bit. He was 136 down to 126. Good jumper, can go off in front. It's hard to beat. I think about 7 or 8 to 1.
Yeah, Milan Tino owned by JP McManus. As I say, I think it could be a big week for him. Which hopefully the likes of Pat DeRue, Waterford Whispers, Corbett's Cross, and of course Factophile, Tommy, we hope he wins for you as well in the Brown Advisory on Wednesday and for the Mullins team. Guys, it's been an absolute pleasure. It's really whet the appetite. Hopefully you're going to have a great week. Ruby, enjoy it. I know you're going to be very busy. Are you on TV each day?
I'm on TV now, Gary, in 20 minutes with Lydia, so I have to go, guys.
We'll let him exit stage left. Tommy, wish you a great week
as
well.
I'm getting dressed here, dear piece on and all.
Thanks to everybody for watching. I hope you're all going to have a great Cheltenham Festival from all of us here. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.